भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
अव्यक्तं व्यक्तिमापनम् मन्यन्ते मां अबुद्धयः परं भावम् जानन्तो All right, now please listen very carefully. This is very important. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna deals with many of the misconceptions of spiritual understanding, which are still very widespread today, especially in India. Okay, so those who are worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons. And here the impersonalists are similarly described. Lord Krishna in his personal form is here speaking before Arjuna. And still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamuna Acharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanuja Acharya, has written two very appropriate verses in this connection. He says, Tvam shila rupa charitai parama prakrashtai sattvena sattvikataya prabalaischa shastraihi prakhyata daiva paramartha vidang mataischa naivasura prakrataya prabhavanti bodham. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narad know you to be the personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form and your activities, and one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. This is from Yamunacharya Stotra Ratna, verse number 12. In the Brahma Sanhita, it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by study of the Vedanta literature. Jai Hari Krishna. Ooh, it's cold. Came out of the fridge. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of the Supreme be known. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of the demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation on Vedic literature without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness are also less intelligent. And for them, it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the Absolute Truth is impersonal are described as abuddhayaha, which means those who do not know the ultimate feature of the Absolute Truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahman and then rises to the localized supersoul. But the ultimate word in the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the Supreme Truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mang murha manushing tanamashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam confirms this. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasadale shanu grahita evahi janati tatvang bhagavang shmahimno Nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvam. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his form, quality, or name, simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature and that all his activities, his form and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. The 20th verse clearly states, Kamaistaista hridayana prapadyante nyadevataha. Those who are blinded by lusty desires surrender unto the different demigods. It is accepted that besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets, and the Lord also has a planet. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. The worshippers of the demigods go to the different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Gita, does it appear that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet and the demigods have theirs. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it is not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of the demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Krishna is Satchidananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Anandamayo Bhyasat, or by nature full of blissful pleasure, and that he is the reservoir of unlimited auspicious qualities. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja, unborn, he still appears. These are the facts that we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of the impersonalist monist is false as far as the statements of the Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhayaha parambhavma jananta mamavyayam anutamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness for the first time in the Western countries. It means others had come to preach, but Prabhupada was very effective in preaching this. Now, to preach Krishna consciousness in a non-Indian language means that he had to use different terms which no one had ever heard before. Just like three modes of material nature or conditioned soul. Even if you speak these things in Hindi or Bengali, most people, they won't understand what it means. Jara Prakriti Ke Tringun Mayabadha Jeev. This is all highly technical language. So Prabhupada, he also used this important term, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't just say God. The term God is very much misunderstood and misrepresented. There are so many wrong ideas about God, that we are all God. This is a very common misunderstanding. Or there are so many imaginary incarnations of God, or some idea that God is some big all-pervading force, or that God created the world a long time ago and we didn't see Him recently, so probably He's dead. So Prabhupada made it very clear. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Purusham paramam divyam. In Gita, Krishna states, these derive from this statement of Gita. Purusham paramam divyam, supreme personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada was always stressing this point, that the supreme is a person, because it is a very common misunderstanding that the supreme is not actually a person. And that even though Krishna came and spoke Bhagavad Gita, He was just representing the truth. He's not actually the truth. This impersonalistic idea is very widespread, not only in India, but all over the world. But it destroys devotion. Because if you think that the Absolute is ultimately a person, then where is the devotion? Ultimately, devotion or bhakti means surrender to the Supreme Person. It is a personal exchange. But if you think that the Supreme is not a person, then where is the devotion? So this impersonal idea, it cuts bhakti from the very roots. Therefore, the Vaishnavas are traditionally very much against this, because it is painful. Now, here in this material world, all relationships are perverted reflections of our original relationship of love of Krishna. And often people become upset when we say that these material relationships are all illusory. I love my wife. She loves me. It's all illusory. People become upset. I feel it so much in my heart. So that is illusory because it is temporary and it is based on a misunderstanding of my wife being that particular body. But people, they don't like to hear this because that attachment is there. But actually, the real relationship is with Krishna, who is the supreme real person. We are also real people. But this idea, I am Russian, I am Indian, my name is Sergei, this is all illusory. That is not our real personality. But at the same time, we feel these relationships to be very strong and meaningful. But they are perverted reflections of the real relationship which we originally have for Krishna. Now, just like you may be upset if I tell you that actually, your love for your wife, it's all on an illusory basis. So the Vaishnavas, they also become very upset with the impersonalists say that your love for Krishna, that's not actually meaningful. And therefore the Vaishnavas have gone to great trouble to prove that Krishna is the ultimate reality. Now, we may wonder, how can the impersonalists say that Krishna is not the ultimate reality? This means there have been many impersonalists throughout history. But in the modern age, Shankaracharya, he is the prominent teacher of this Mayavad or Advaitavad philosophy. When we say Shankaracharya, there are dozens of people calling themselves Shankaracharya in India nowadays, but we refer to who is considered to be Adi Shankaracharya. Now we may wonder, how can they claim that Krishna is not the Supreme? When in Gita, Krishna is very clearly established as the Supreme. Aham sarvasya prabhava, ata sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me, Krishna says. Krishna, I generate everything. Ata parataram nanyat kinchid asti. Nothing or nobody is equal to or above me. And Arjuna accepts that. Param brahma param dhamma pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adi devam ajam vibhum. Arjuna says, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the supreme abode of everything, the supreme pure, transcendental pure. You are the eternal person. You are the origin of all the different gods, unborn and all-powerful. Now we may say, well, anyone can claim themselves as God and they'll get some followers praising them. In India today you'll find so many Babas and Dadas and all claiming Dadagiri. Some So many Babas and Bubas and Yogis and Bhogis, and they're all claiming themselves as God. And they all have their followers. I saw Baba in a dream, and he gave me some ashes. This is proof that he's God. But we don't accept incarnations of God so cheaply. Yeah. Even in Russia, I heard there's more than 200 incarnations of Jesus Christ between Russia and Ukraine. They all came out after the communist revolution, after the communist end of communism, and by the grace of Mr. Gorbachev, Jesus Christ is incarnated more than 200 times. So there may be so many incarnations. But Arjun qualifies why he accepts Krishna as supreme. Not that only I'm saying Arjuna says. Arjuna says we should accept it because his character is impeccable. But Arjuna also quotes, Ahastang Rishaya Sarve, all the great rishis, they all accept you, Krishna, as supreme. Devarshe Naradas Tata Asito Devalo Vyasa. These are the authorities. Narad, Deval, Asit, Vyas. Swayang Chaiva Bravishime. Now you are speaking this personally to me. This is analyzed throughout all the Vedic literatures. Yamuna Acharya has composed a very nice verse in this regard. Srila Prabhupada has quoted it here. Tvam Srila Rupa Charitai Parama Prakrishtai, that your character, your personality, Tvam Srila, your form, your character, Parama Prakrishtai, everything about it is extraordinarily wonderful. And all the Vedic literatures that are on the platform of the mode of goodness, they all accept the same thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the great personalities, all great Vedic authorities, they also accept Krishna as Supreme. Young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavair, all the demigods, they praise Krishna. People are praising demigods, but the demigods are praising Krishna. Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Vayu, they're all, Rudra means Shiva, they're all praising Krishna. Vedai, Sangha, Padakrama, Panishadai, Gayanti, Yang Samaga, all the Vedas, they sing the glories of Krishna. Dhyana, Vastita, Tadgatena, Manasap, Pashyanti, Yam Yogino, the yogis, they go through many austerities and difficulties to meditate on who? On Krishna. Yasyantam navidu sura sura gana devaya tasmai namaha. Yasyantam navidu. The end of his glories cannot be understood, neither by the great saintly persons nor by the demons. Therefore, we should simply offer our obeisances to him. We see also in Bhagavatam it's described that Lord Brahma, he studied all the Vedic literatures 3 times and came to the conclusion that devotional service to Krishna is the ultimate purpose of life. But despite this, there are people who deny to surrender to Krishna, even though they claim to be great Vedic scholars. They may be worshippers of demigods. They have been described in previous verses. Antavattu phalangte shantad bhavat yalpamedhasam. What does Krishna say about demigod worship? That people worship demigods to get something which is temporary. Dhanam dehi, most important. Give me some money. Rupavati bharya dehi, give me a beautiful wife. Yasham dehi, give me fame. But all these things are temporary. Your money, even if you get money by worshipping demigods, you can't keep it. Therefore, Krishna says, those who worship demigods just to get some material benefits, they are Alpamedasaha means no brain. And the same thing is said here about impersonalists, abuddhiyaha. It's another way of saying. Now, what do the impersonalists say? What is their claim? We find here Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, establishing himself as supreme. And he's generally accepted as supreme by the followers of the Vedic literature. All the Vedic literatures establish that. But the impersonalists try to make some twisted commentary. That even though all the Vedic literatures say Krishna is supreme, actually there's a secret. There's something beyond Krishna. The inner hidden secret is that there is some avyakta, unmanifest thing from which Krishna became manifest. This is not stated anywhere in the Vedic literature. It is simply an imagination by the impersonalists who are envious of Krishna, do not want to surrender to him. And Krishna directly addresses this theory in this verse. Yeah. He says, anyone who thinks like that is a fool, because it's not true. Well, you may think, well, I can have my opinion, but if I want to think like that, why not? Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Yeah. People ask us, well, what do you believe? As if religious understanding was a matter of belief. Today I believe in God, tomorrow I don't. That means today he exists, tomorrow he doesn't. Is it a fact? Yes. No, there are certain realities. It's not a matter of opinion. So the fact is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. And anyone who denies that is simply foolish. I may say, well, how are they foolish? Impersonalists have made so many commentaries on scripture. They may be very expert in Sanskrit. They may be. But if their conclusion is all wrong, then they're fools, that's all. Just like you may be very expert at mathematics, but if you do one big long calculation and your conclusion is that 1 plus 1 equals 3, you're a fool.
Means
you may have so much theoretical knowledge, but you don't understand even the basic points. You may have knowledge of Sanskrit grammar, but you don't even understand the most basic thing, that Krishna is the Supreme. So practically this is the situation in Hinduism today, for want of a better word, we shall say Hinduism, that people watch a few shows of Mahabharata and Ramayana on TV, and they read some Amarachitra Katha, and maybe they go to some Swami's speech, and they think themselves a great learned scholar. That is not the process to get spiritual knowledge. You may read this 1, 2, 3 things, but unless you study under the acharya in disciplic succession, you cannot understand mostly what is going on in the name of Hinduism. It's all bluffing and cheating. So many people claiming themselves as incarnations. So many big gurus talking big nonsense. But who is presenting the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? However big a so-called guru or incarnation may be, if he doesn't present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is simply a bluffer and a cheater and a rascal. I didn't say it, Krishna did. But people like to go to these cheaters. They think it's very nice, we'll get some blessings. Yeah, and then maybe I'll win the lottery. But Krishna doesn't say the perfection of life is to win the lottery. The perfection of life is to understand Krishna and get out of this material world and go back to Godhead, back to Krishna. But people don't like to do that. Yeah. They don't like to surrender to Krishna. Because everyone is puffed up with the false ego, thinking, I'm very important. Why should I surrender to Krishna? Therefore they make so many bogus philosophies. They say all the gods are the same. Another bogus idea, not at all supported by scripture. But by inventing all these bogus ideas, they avoid surrendering to Krishna. But what is the result of that? They may think they're very clever, but the result is punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Again born, again die, again enter the womb of a mother. Shankaracharya taught this. And what else did he teach? He taught this Advaitavad, but ultimately he was devotee of Krishna. This avyakta, this unmanifest, is mentioned in Gita. But that also comes from Krishna. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Krishna says, I am the origin of that impersonal, unmanifest. Unmanifest?
Yeah, I said.
So Shankaracharya concurs with that. He says, Narayana, Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana, Krishna, is beyond the impersonal unmanifest. What is Shankaracharya's final teaching? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Murha Mate, Samprapte Sanhite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukran Karane. You fools, worship Krishna. You think that by becoming great scholars, that will help you? At the time of death, it cannot protect you. But the modern so-called followers of Shankaracharya, they've invented so many funny ideas. Everything is all one. What a stupid idea. If I am hungry and you eat, does it mean I become full up? But why do people say such things? Because they're so much envious of Krishna. They will say, yes, yes, do bhakti. That is very good. Then after some time, you'll realize that everything is all one. That is not bhakti. Real bhakti means to accept Krishna as the eternal supreme person who we have to surrender to. Once I was walking on the street in Patna, it's one city in northern India. So some students came up to me and they were asking, what is this Krishna conscious philosophy? So I was explaining that we have to surrender to Krishna, who is the supreme person. One man came up and he was listening. And after some time he became very angry. And he protested, no, Krishna is not the supreme. There is no supreme. Everything is all the same. Everything is all one. Why do you say to worship Krishna? You should worship everything. Now it's very common in India that you'll find pigs, dirty pigs running around on the streets. With all stool all over their bodies from the drain. So he was saying, why do you say Krishna is God? Everything is God. I said, do you accept this pig as God?
Yes.
You will take the pig and offer puja and arati?
Yes.
You will take the stool of this pig and offer arati?
Yes.
You will worship Krishna as supreme?
No.
Yes.
You see what foolishness and rascaldom. Where does it come from? Simply envy. So these impersonalists, they talk of love and peace, but they deny love of Krishna. They say we should just allow all opinions, but not this opinion. All ideas are good, but don't surrender to Krishna. That's not God. So we are very much against this. We are preaching full devotional surrender to Krishna. Krishna is most sweet and beautiful, and bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is most sweet and pleasing to the heart. But we have no sentiments for those who are the enemies of Krishna. Those who propagate that, who are actively against Krishna being worshipped as the supreme, we will always battle with them. Prabhupada did that. Why? Because we all have these misconceptions. We've all heard these wrong ideas. We're all infected with this. Why are we not surrendering to Krishna? Because we're not convinced that Krishna is the supreme person who we can take full shelter of. Therefore, we have to hear again and again how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And that the idea is that anything or anyone can be even slightly on the level of Krishna is a gross misconception which destroys that natural flow of love towards Krishna. Hare Krishna. So let us all be convinced. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is not something within Krishna or beyond Krishna, or that Krishna has come from anything else. Come and see me after class. I'll tell you something. Okay? There's a question. There's a question here. I'll take that afterwards.
How to understand the statement that devotee suffers when he sees the sufferings of others, and he feels happy when he sees others happy?
Well, if we have a little bit of devotional feeling ourselves, then we'll begin to understand it. The opposite is to take pleasure in others' distress and to be distressed in others' happiness. So if we're still feeling like that, then obviously we won't understand taking pleasure in others' pleasure and distress in others' distress. Don't you feel pain when you see others suffer? No? I'll chant Hare Krishna more. It comes from purification of heart. We should feel, if we're actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, our heart, we should feel pain that people, they don't know Krishna, how they're spoiling their lives. Normal, ordinary life means to feast on the bodies of others, to eat the legs of different animals and put all horrible things. How people are wasting their lives chasing after illusory pleasures. A devotee feels sorry, therefore he tries to help others. There's a question here. This lady had her hand up first.
Then you said about fighting with those who are against devotional service. Mm. Does it mean only preaching or something else?
Means preaching.
Да, это означает проповедь.
We're not stocking up guns here.
Okay.
We're not stocking guns here. This is our weapon. Shastra means astra. Astra means weapon. So this is shastra. And that's a fact. This is just like an arrow enters the heart. So these books, they enter the heart and change the heart. I think we all had realization, people, devotees who first read these books, how wonderful these books are. I remember before I joined this movement, I was reading some book and it was about someone in India, and it was leading up to their realization. When I was reading this book, I was sitting on a boat crossing the sea. So he went through the whole book, and in the last paragraph, it described his realization.
Sure.
How this person saw Indra and Agni and Krishna and Surya, and he was the same person. So I was so disgusted, I threw the book in the sea, and I vowed I'm never going to read these books again. But then I got Prabhupada's Krishna book.
That was nectar for the heart.
I thought I was never going to read any book again in my life, because they're all so bogus and useless. So these books, they have their effect. They change people's lives. There's one small town in Tatarstan, I can't remember the name. I met one lady from there. So there's no devotees there, but she got this life comes from life. A housewife with three children. She read that, she knew this is the absolute truth. What's the address? Okay, Begovaya, I'm going there. She went there, found out everything, how to chant, went back home. She's been chanting at home for 5 years now. Same thing in Malaysia. One man got this book, Life Comes From Life. Chinese man. Usually we used to go around the Chinese restaurants at night. It's not cold, it's hot. So they eat outside at night. And what they eat, we don't want to tell you. Then you'll fast for 3 days. So there he was, eating his lobsters and everything else. And he got Life Comes From Life. Next, he read the whole book. Next day he came to the temple and said, now I cannot live my life the same way as before. These books are very powerful. These are our weapons. We have other weapons also. Prasad distribution, chanting the holy name, having temple communities, people can come. It all helps to purify the atmosphere. But not fighting and killing. No, that's useless. What's the use of killing people? Then they just go to hell. And anyway, they'll outnumber us. They'll kill us. But we have to change the consciousness by giving them Krishna consciousness. But that preaching also means fighting. There will be so many people who won't want to accept. They will try to argue, or they'll make up some new wrong philosophy. So we have to know the philosophy also so that we can preach it to others. Wait a minute. He's taking this table. Don't go and hit anyone on the head with that. Tell him, this is not for fighting with. What's that for?
They're collecting donations for outside.
All right, that's good. What's the donation for?
For the temple.
For the temple, okay. Jai, Hare Krishna. What's the, some question is there? Yeah.
I just wanted to admit that she had the same question that the previous mother had.
Yeah, please.
Is it possible to create something which is not possible, uncreatable?
You can try if you like. That's not our aim and object. Our aim is to serve Krishna. We don't teach magic. Maybe you should go to a magic shop, some magic guru. Krishna is creating so many things which are uncreatable for everybody else. So we are worshipping Krishna. Better worship he who can do that rather than trying to imitate him. We should know what our limitations are. The question is, how could I told the story of the pig in Patna, so how could I say one of the 10 incarnations is Varaha avatar? Varaha avatar isn't like the pig on the street, just like Krishna is not like you. Varaha avatar is extraordinarily beautiful. He is Sachidananda Vigraha. Just like you have two hands and two legs and a face, and Krishna also has. But you are not like Krishna.
Then you are trying to make God is more beautiful, more glamorous. This is beautiful is God, this is ugly is not.
You want to translate that?
Is God very beautiful? And only beautiful things are God, things which are ugly is not God.
You're a Mayavadi. You're the kind of person we're talking about. Go on, say it. No, translate his question. Yeah, that is correct. Krishna is, the definition of God means that he is all, what is that? Aishvaryasya samagrasya. He has all opulences. Viryasya, all power. Yashasya, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. But not like this material beauty. The most beautiful thing in this material world is only a reflection of Krishna's extraordinary beauty. So Krishna is distinct from his creation. It's not that everything in the creation is Krishna. It's not that every pig is Varaha avatar or that every man is God. That is exactly the misconception which Krishna is addressing here in this verse. And that is exactly the misconception which is very common in India today. Now you may say, how can I say this? I'm saying on the basis of Bhagavad Gita because Krishna says this. What does Krishna say here? Avyaktam. Avyaktam means the unmanifest. Vyaktim, you can understand, means personality. Apanam means has become. Manyante, they think. Mam, me or about me. Yeah. Abuddhyaha, abuddhi, no intelligence. So Krishna says that those who think that I have come from some unmanifested, they are less intelligent. Param bhavam ajananto, they do not know my supreme nature. Krishna's nature is param, it is above ours. We are not on the same level as Krishna. Krishna is above us. We are not supreme. Do you think you are supreme? You believe. You are manifestation, but you are very, very small manifestation.
What is manifestation? Might be a small part.
Not might be, is. Extremely small. You are not equal to God. Good, I'm glad you understand. Now you should try to understand who is God, what is His nature, and what is your relationship with Him. That you have to understand by submissively studying Vedic literatures and chanting Hare Krishna. And understand that your position as a manifestation of God is as His very small servant. We are servants of God. And who is God? Krishna. Not anyone who you might believe or want to believe. But very specifically, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Not Brahma, not Shiva, not Sai Baba, no. Krishna. Not you, not me. Krishna. Specifically, Krishna. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. No other.
I understand, but he is the devotion. So I have full devotion and confidence.
You believe, but what if you're wrong? You say enlightened, but what is the meaning of enlightened? You say ultimate plane, what is the meaning of ultimate plane? How are we to understand these things? How should we understand what is the meaning of these words? These are all very vague terms. Ultimate plane is described in Shastra, specifically in Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna, who is the ultimate truth, who is accepted as the ultimate truth himself, explains what is the ultimate truth, what it means to be enlightened, and how to come to this platform. This is elaborated upon in Srimad Bhagavatam. Again and again in Gita, Krishna is established as the Supreme Person. The Absolute Truth is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. That the Supreme Truth is understood in three phases. The all-pervading Brahma, which is sometimes known as Brahma Jyoti. Then Paramatma, the Supreme Lord manifested in everyone's heart. And Bhagavan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shadaishvarya Purna, full with six opulences. Now, this is sometimes compared to understanding of the sun. That there is sunlight, the sun planet. And the followers of the Vedic literature know that the brightness of the sun planet comes from Surya Narayana, the Deva of the sun, who is within the sun planet. Now, if someone says, the sun is in this room, that's true. It means they have realized the sun.
but they've only realized the sunlight. But someone who's more enlightened knows that the sunlight comes from the sun globe. And someone who has more knowledge knows that the within the sun globe is the sun god. So many people who are considered to be enlightened, their knowledge of God is just like knowing the sunlight without knowing the sun planet or the sun god. So full realization is to understand not only the light of God or His all-pervading presence, but to understand His personal form, Krishna. Now you may say, well, I have devotion to a guru. But guru means it's not simply by having devotion that you become properly situated. Guru is not only for giving blessings. Guru means teacher. He teaches you what is the absolute truth. So if he himself doesn't know, then you can have so much bhakti to him. But what is the use? He may think he knows. And he may even give you some kind of enlightenment. And compared to your present experience, you may think that this is some wonderful enlightenment. But ultimately, all these things have to be understood according to Shastra. All these Shastras say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we don't come to this point, or if our Guru doesn't bring us to this point, then he's not really fit to teach us. Shatkarma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharada avaishnava guru nasyad vaishnava shvapacha guru. In the Shastra it is said that even if a guru is expert in teaching us all different kinds of karmas and tantras and yantras and mantras, if he's not a Vaishnava, if he himself doesn't teach us to surrender to Vishnu, then he should not be a guru because he's missed the point. Just like that example I was giving, someone may be expert in mathematics and he may do so many different theories, but if he brings up some theory that 2 plus 2 equals 5, even though he's expert in theory, theoretical mathematics, if his conclusion is 2 plus 2 equals 5, he missed the point. He's a fool. So he may find very many gurus who are very austere, very learned, very expert speakers, who can do some magic tricks, who have many followers. But if they don't teach you that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that you should surrender to Him and how to surrender to Him, they can't properly be a guru, because guru means who teaches the absolute truth. Therefore, Vaishnava Shvapacha Guru, even if someone is born in the lowest family by material calculation, if he's a Vaishnava and teaches you to surrender to Vishnu, he is the proper person to be a guru, no one else. It's a very serious business. We get this human form of life after many millions of births. And if we waste it just going to some sentimental guru who doesn't know the truth, then what is the result? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again, become a fish, a dog, a cat, a tree, or maybe even an Indra. But you don't get liberation and you don't get Krishna bhakti, which is the goal of life. Try to understand this. Repeated birth and death is miserable. Krishna has come to teach us how to get free from birth and death because it is miserable. But there's something you have to do. It's not simply a matter of going to some guru and saying, Guru Maharaj ki jai ho. Everything finished. Here's 1 lakh rupees to build a hospital. It's not the business of a guru to build hospitals. Guru is meant to teach you how to get free from birth and death. Therefore, Shastra says, Guru nasa syad. Don't become a guru. What is that? Guru nasa syad, swajana nasa syad. Namo chiyat samapita mrityam, that you shouldn't become a guru unless you can teach your disciple how to get free from birth and death. That is only possible by surrendering to Krishna. But people in general are reluctant to do this. Even though the only way you can become actually happy is by surrendering to Krishna, people don't like to. They think, I will become happy if I get some more money, so let me go to a guru who will bless me so that my business will improve. You can't become happy by these things. You can only become happy by surrendering to Krishna. And you can only get freedom from birth and death by surrendering to Krishna. So it is not that every guru is the same and every puja is the same and every belief is the same. No. That is widely propagated in India, that all the paths are the same. But it's not true. Not according to Shastra. If all the paths are the same, then what is the need for any Shastra? You just do whatever you like. That's why you'll find nowadays in India, who knows any Shastra? Who cares for any Shastra? Bhagavad Gita is the most basic Shastra. What percentage of the population in India know even one verse from Bhagavad Gita? Maybe some of them, maybe a few people learn one or two verses. But who knows the meaning? Who's following this? Previously, the whole culture in India was based on Shastra. Nowadays, people don't know, they don't care. They know all the cricket batting averages. But what is the Shastra? They have no idea, and they don't care. People have lost their culture. This Krishna Conscious Movement is meant to give the real culture to India and to the whole world. Please try to understand this. It's very serious business.
It's not the ultimate truth is one should be free or one should get rid of karma, krodha, madha, moha, moha, vatsalya. Whether it is Bhagavad Gita or whether it is another shastra, I think this is...
Okay, translate the question. So you have asked, is this the ultimate truth? The answer is no. That is not the ultimate truth. That is a step on the path towards the ultimate. The ultimate truth is that we should surrender to Krishna. If you do that, then automatically you become free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, ityadi. But these things will remain, but in spiritual form. Just like what is Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. Now how can you fight without krodh, without anger? Krishna is telling him not to be angry on his own behalf, but because he has to serve Krishna. Krishna says in Gita that Trivitam Narakasi Idam Dwaram Nashnam Atmanaha Kamas Krodhas Tata Lobhas Tasmat Etat Trayang Tyajet. There are three gates leading to hell: Kam, Krodh, Lobh, lust, anger and greed. Therefore, an intelligent person should give these up. But at the same time, Krishna is recommending bhakti. Bhaktya mama bijanati. I can be understood by bhakti, by devotional service. So if there's devotional service, that means there's desire, but that is desire to please Krishna. That is not within the sattva raja tamo. That is not within the material nature. That is spiritual desire. Yes. So it's not so much a matter of giving up, but purifying. Hanuman also.
He went to Lanka.
Now, if he had just sat on the beach and meditated, would he have been such a great devotee? If he simply, I wish I shall meditate on Ram. No, he went to Lanka. He burned. He said, he wanted to kill Ravana himself, but Sita said, no, let Ram come, he will do it. He was very angry because he was a great devotee. If you have love and someone maligns or mistreats your loved one, you become angry. So the devotees, they love Krishna. So if someone speaks against Krishna, they become angry. That is not the same as someone who becomes angry if someone speaks against them. That is material anger. It's a great science to understand who is the Supreme, what is our relationship, how to act in that relationship, what is the ultimate goal. Please study these things. Try to understand.
I don't want.
What's the question? You missed it. Yeah, I definitely want it. What's the question?
Почему преданный просит подарить сияние? Why in some scriptures devotees praying for God, please give put away all this effulgence, and for example, Arjuna also Arjuna praying, please don't show this universal form.
Because they're devotees. They're not attracted to the all-pervading light. They want Krishna, his form, they're devotees. Just like in this temple, if the curtains are always closed and only the lights are on, is that very nice? No, you won't. Let the curtain be opened. We shall have darshan of Gaur Nithyananda. There's some question.
If a devotee is a buddha, less intelligent.
No, a devotee is never less intelligent. How can a devotee be less intelligent? Devotee is most intelligent. Worshipping Krishna, that's the ultimate purpose of life. That is intelligence. Intelligence doesn't mean if you have PhD and all these things. That's not intelligence. Same thing, someone may be a great mathematician, but he may make the conclusion 2 plus 2 equals 5. And a young child, he may just be learning mathematics, 2 plus 2 equals 4. So the young child may not be expert in mathematical theory, but who's right? The young child who says 2 plus 2 equals 4, or the so-called brilliant mathematician who says 2 plus 2 equals 5. And even if a devotee is apparently not very intelligent, Krishna will give him the intelligence to advance in spiritual life. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te tesham eva nukam patam aham jnana jantamaha nashyami atma bhavasto jnana deepena nashyami. Krishna says, those who worship me with love, they may be PhD, not PhD, whatever, doesn't matter. But I will give them the intelligence by which they come to me. out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, give thee light of knowledge. Krishna never says, first you go to university and get a PhD.